Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He will fix it for you. Amen. If you let him, he will break the fretters. Amen. Praise God. We bless and praise God this morning. Amen. Welcome to Mount Carmel International Church. You are on the air with no other than the one and only. Amen. Dr. Carolyn McNeil this morning. Amen. Praise God. We thank and praise God on this day for you, you and you. Amen. For coming on. Amen. Just have, let God have his way today. How about that? Glory to God. Glory to God. And I want to just say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Amen. Praise God. Glory to his name. It was a little saddened this weekend, praise God, because I miss my daddy, but I know that he is in heaven. Amen. He's in a better place. Amen. On some Friday, praise God, was his birthday, and I just said, Lord, I'm going to celebrate him today. Amen. Praise God. So I thank God for all the fathers, and I just want to say this, amen. If you still have a father out, you know, that's here, praise God, cherish him, love him, praise God, know that God has blessed you, still has blessed you, amen, praise God. So I thank God this morning, amen. I am happy in the Lord this morning, amen. Happy, happy Father's Day, amen, praise God. With that being said, hallelujah, let us pray, let us pray, let us pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your sovereignty, Lord God. Ah, yes, Holy Spirit, but we just ask, Lord, that you just do a miraculous miracle on this line today, oh God. Ah, yes, Holy Spirit, bring divine alignment in our lives, oh God. Yes, Holy Spirit, bring divine guidance in our life, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you bless each and every one under the sound of my voice this morning, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, you know what they need on today. You know, yes, Holy Spirit, you know what to uplift, and glory to God, uplift our spirits on today, oh God. Ah, yes, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Ah, glory to God. Some may be saddened, some may be lifted up, but I thank you, Lord God, because we know that you are the author, the finisher of our faith on today. So Father, we trust you. We believe in you, Father, on today. Now, Father, I pray for all the ones, oh God, yes, Holy Spirit, that's little downtrodden today, Lord. Lift them up, God, today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. As we start our day, we command our day, yes, Holy Spirit, to be blessed, to be favored, God. Ah, yes, Holy Ghost, to be uplifted, God, in the name of Jesus. So Father, we just say thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your peace and your love to be upon us on today. Now, God, as I have studied, Father, yes, Holy Spirit, allow me to step aside that the Holy Ghost may take control over this line today. God, we come against all interference right now in the name of Jesus, and we call forth the glory of you. We call forth the anointing, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that only you can give. These things I pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Today, we know today is Father's Day, but God is taking me another way today. Maybe this is for the fathers, and maybe it's for all of us on today, but I know, praise God, it was for me. Amen. Glory to God first. Amen. Praise God. So today, I want to take you to a passage of scripture in the book of Exodus, 14th chapter and the 13th verse. Amen. Let me read it. Praise God. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That is our main focus, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, oh, come on, Holy Ghost, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So the enemy that you see on today, you will see no more. Amen. But God wants us to focus on stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The three most common words heard among Christians in time of crisis are, because we all have crisis, Lord, do something. Come on, Holy Ghost. It is totally against our nature as human beings to stand still and to do nothing when we face perplexity and trials. In fact, waiting patiently for God to act is probably the most difficult thing about the Christian walk. Even devoted believers panic. Come on, I don't care how high God take you. I don't care, praise God, glory to God, that you are anointed from the head to the toe. You speak in tongues, whatever it may be. Even devoted believers panic when the Lord doesn't move according to their timetable. We constantly give God deadlines and time limits. We cry, Lord, when are you going to do something about this? How long will you take? If you don't act now, it will be too late. But God is never too late. I want to talk to you today, praise God. Somebody shout with me this morning, amen. God is never too late. He always acts, and not according to our schedule, but his. Our God is always searching the earth for a people who will trust him in crisis, trials, and hopeless situations. He's looking for us, y'all. Come on, somebody. Indeed, he often leads us into situations that are alarming, critical, difficult, in order to test us. He wants to see if we're willing to stand still and wait for him to bring supernatural deliverance. Somebody say supernatural deliverance. Come on, Holy Ghost. Hey, my God, I give you glory. The Bible says very clearly, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. The Hebrew word order here means prearranged, step by step, fixed, ordained by God. This means it is God, not the devil. Come on, somebody. We pray, Lord, the devil in the way. Go, it means it is God, not the devil, who leads us into difficult places. We may cry out, Lord, why are you allowing my crisis to continue? But the truth is, not only does he allow our trials, but he does so deliberately for a purpose. And that is hard for us to accept. Yet God allowed these hard times in our lives in order to produce faith in us. He is molding and shaping us into godly examples of faith, to be his testimony to a faithless, ungodly age. I firmly believe every step we take is ordained by our Heavenly Father. And if that is indeed true, then I can't believe God would ever lead me to the brink of a difficult situation only to abandon me. He wouldn't say, okay, David, I directed your steps up to this point. Now you're on your own. That's not the God we serve, people of God. We serve a God that will never abandon us. No, God is absolutely faithful to his children in every crisis. And he is always asking us, will you be one I've been searching for? Are you one? Hey, come on, Shatayana Mashiach. Are you one that God has been searching for? Will you be the one who won't panic? Who won't charge me with forsaking, abandoning, or hurting my children? Will you stand still in your crisis and lean on faith, trusting me to see you through? The Bible is filled with examples of great and alarming crises deliberately set up by the Lord. The Old Testament lists many times of testing for God's people. Perhaps the greatest example of these was the crisis at the Red Sea. This trial wasn't in set by the devil or by Pharaoh. It was a crisis completely arranged by God, set up by his very own command to Israel. After all, scripture says, it was God who hardened Pharaoh's heart, who caused the Egyptians to pursue Israel. and who allowed the Egyptian army to overtake them by the sea. God had told the people specifically to camp between Milgar and Pahara. This location was situated between the two mountains, come on, passes, with the sea bordering a third side. The only possible route to escape was back into the wilderness, and that was blocked by Pharaoh's approaching army. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. Now, the Israelites were horrified at their situation. Their God had led them there. Oh, come on, I want to talk to somebody today that feel like you're stuck somewhere, but God has led you there. Let me point out something here. God could have prearranged to knock the wheels off the Egyptians' chariot at any time. He could have done it in the wilderness, stranding the Egyptians and starving them to death. But instead, he waited until they were between the walls of the separated sea. God also could have sent the supernatural cloud down upon the Egyptian camp to confuse them. Those soldiers would have run around in the confusion mist for days. Instead, he chose to send the cloud behind the Israel as protection. Or God could have sent a single angel to slay the entire Egyptian army. In the blink of an eye, he could have chosen to destroy them at any point. But here goes. But the Lord didn't do any of those things. Instead, he squeezed Israel into a tight, alarming situation, a crisis that was impossible to escape by human means. I believe the Lord had two purposes in allowing this impossible situation for his people. He was determined to alienate Israel's enemies. They would never again have to look over their shoulders in fear. God was saying, in essence, I'm going to show your enemies bodies along the shore so you can see every one of them dead. Then you will know I have all power. God wanted to provide an opportunity for his people to put their lives in his hands. Have we did that yet? Have we put our lives in the hands of God? Or are we still trying to do it our way? Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. To stand still is to trust him to give them direction. Somebody needs some directions, and God is saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. How do we know God arranged this frightful situation to test his people? His own word says so. Thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Meaning to test thee. Prove means to test thee. To know what was in thy heart. See, God wants to know what's really in your heart. Come on, Holy Ghost. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. That's in Deuteronomy 8 and 2. This verse spells it out clearly. All the ways which the Lord led thee, it was God who led them to the Red Sea, not the devil. Come on, Holy Ghost. But why did God do this? The same chapter tells us that he might humble thee and that he might test thee to do thee good at thy latter end. God was saying, in essence, I was after something in you. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. I'm after something in you. I want you to know that God is after something on the inside of you. Come on, Holy Ghost. I brought you into these situations so you could practice your faith. Only these kinds of circumstances could produce true faith in you. Only only your absolute trust in me could ever get you out. Somebody say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, in verse 3. In other words, I gave you hard places, hungering places, thirsting places, places that would alarm and terrify you to see if you had a trusting heart. As the Egyptian quickly approached, there was no place for the Israelites to run. The mountains on both sides were bare, with no trees or caves to hide among. And the seas hemmed them in on the other side. They simply had no place to run. Isn't, you know how we say glory to God. Oh, God, my back against the wall. I can't go to the left. I can't go to the right. But now, God, I have to trust you because I tried everything I know how. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is that place that God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It was an impossible situation. The scripture says that at this point, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. My God, I give you glory. How many of us cried out to God right now? Lord, what's going on with my life? Praise God. It seems like I'm hemmed in right now. Praise God. But God, I know that I trust you. That trying, that place, that try placing yourself in that situation. Your family is gathered around you, children, grandparents, relatives, and suddenly you hear a rumbling of chariot wheels and the rattling of the wheels, praise God, the fierce war cry of a murderous, bloodthirsty army. Wouldn't you be afraid? Hallelujah. The truth is God is patient with us. When the awful flush of human fear overcomes us in a sudden crisis, our Lord is not a hard taskmaster. He knows this would be a frightening experience for Israel. In fact, he would have been pleased with a prayer such as, Lord, we're afraid. See, sometimes you got to, we can't be so, to the point where we don't be real with God. God, I'm in a situation, but I'm afraid right now. My God, I give you glory. We got to be real with God. I never meant, praise God. Nobody, praise God. Even the men of faith, the women of faith, we all get afraid sometimes. But God always said when we be honest with him, Lord, I'm afraid right now. Yet we know you have always been faithful to deliver us. When you told God that, God, I know you did it then and you did it here, but right now, God, I'm afraid right now, praise God, because I'm in a situation that I can't do nothing about because you put me in a situation. Come on, somebody. When we were in Egypt, you delivered us from the death angel and from all the plagues. They knew God was God over their lives, praise God. And we know you have the power to deliver us out of this crisis as well. No matter how bleak it looks, Father, we commit our lives into your hands. Oh, God wants somebody to commit their lives into his hands and try to stop trying to do it your way and do it the way God wants you to do it. Praise God. Lord, I commit my hands into your hands. Lead me and guide me, direct my path. Divinely direct me. Was this Israel crying? No, the scripture says they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, had thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore, see, they mumbled against the man of God. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It had been better for us to serve in Egypt. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. Than that we should die in the wilderness. Instead of trying to go the hard way God wanted them to go to see and test them, they wanted to go backwards into the wilderness where they was under a taskmaster. Glory to his name. No, God is saying that we have to go forward now, praise God. No matter the obstacle, no matter what goes on, you have to look to the hills which come of your help, knowing that your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. They were being sarcastic. Oh, come on, somebody. Almost to the point of blasphemy. And they charged God with the intent to destroy them. God, I'm scared to do that. I'm going to tell God, glory to God, Lord, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. I'm a little afraid to do that. This was not the cry of faith. Are you facing your own crisis right now? Perhaps you're carrying a burden so heavy. Your friends will fall on their faces weeping if they knew about them. Oh, come on, somebody. Sometimes we can't even tell nobody what we're going through, praise God, yet in Oshia, because they wouldn't understand the way God is taking you. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. They're not thinking in a spiritual way. They're thinking in religion, praise God. God would. That's not a God that we serve that want to take you through this place and want to take this from you, want to push you back. That's not the God. That's religion. We got to know the real God, the supernatural God. That yes, he will do some things like that. But when we come out, we will have great testimonies. Yet the fact remains, you have been led into your very difficult situation by the Lord himself. The simple biblical truth is that if you are his, if he has ordered your steps, then he has put you where you are. And he must have a good reason for it. You are being tested. The thing about being tested, I hear the Holy Ghost. Let me say this. The thing about being tested sometimes, glory to God, people may come up against you because they don't understand the walk that God gives you. God told me to say that. There will be arguments. God ain't talking to you. This can't be God. Come on, Holy Ghost. But God has to do things to bring forth glory. And I'm helping somebody today, praise God. It might not look like it's God, but it's God that's taking you that way. See, we don't read our Bibles enough to know what Israel and all the biblical. See, when we want to know something about, glory to God, what you're going through, to open the Bible. Some of us lack wisdom because we don't open the Bible on to Sunday. But we open it when God takes us to circumstances that we need him. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. You may ask, what am I supposed to do when I'm brought into such crisis? What shall I do when everything appears hopeless? When there is no visible escape? What happens when I overcome with fear because everything is coming down all around me? And I have nowhere to turn, no answer for my problem, no one to tell me how to get out of my troubles. Here is how God answered Israel when they crisis. He said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord was saying to them, the first manner you must deal with your fear. Come on. I will fight for you, and I will save and deliver you. Now that promise, oh, come on, be your strength. Let that promise be your strength. Let it drive out all your fears. Because let me tell you, the enemy will cause you to fear. Now let me apply this to the new covenant. First, I want to talk about the bondage to sin. That is your battle with the flesh. Under the new covenant, God will allow situations to show us how helpless we are and how wholly dependent we are on him to deliver us through faith. God will never lead you into temptation, but he will allow you to come to your wit's end. If you have a besetting sin, that sin is the Pharaoh in your life, and his army of lying spirits come against you constantly with demonic lies, you're not going to make it. You're going down. Come on, somebody. You will end up destroyed because, see, God don't want us to be in sin. He's trying to help us today, y'all. You hear the rattling of chains that Satan tries to bind you to your habits once more. You know those habits that God delivered us from? And you wonder, Lord, how will I ever get up from this? I'm going down so low. What can you do? You know you can't outrun the enemy. And you are no match for him in the fight. You are helpless against him. So you stand before him, cowering, trembling, and fearful. You may say to yourself, I'm just go back to my old ways. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. That way, at least I'll be spared from all this spiritual warfare. Because when you get closer to God, come on, I want you to talk to me today. When you get closer to God, when you start reading your word, when you start praying, when you start fasting, praise God, the enemy knows, so therefore, praise God, he tries to throw some things at you, praise God. It's too much for me, the spiritual warfare, but you know you can't go back to your old master. If you turn back now, if you desert Christ, it will cost you your life. Oh, come on, I want to talk to somebody today because somebody knows, praise God, if I go back, the enemy going to kill me because I've been serving God too long. Glory to his name. I ask you how many Israelites would have been spared if they returned to Egypt. Not one would have survived. They all would have been hewn to pieces. Why? The enemy is a bloodthirsty killer out to destroy all the Christians. At this point, many Christians become caught in the hellish cycle of sin and confess. They run to friends, counselors, anyone who would listen to them as they weep, cry, and pray. Such believers will do anything and everything except stand still and trust the Lord to bring their deliverance. God has deliverance for all of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. Let me speak to the people that think they so righteous. Oh, my there is, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Yet the Old Testament gives us example after example of how we have no power in our flesh to fight spiritual battles. Our old man is utterly weak and powerless, but we have a new man inside of us, and he is to submit his life totally to the Lord's hand. The new man understands there is no human way out, that God has to do all the fighting for him. Glory to his name. We resist the devil not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit is revealed in us by faith alone. Come on, somebody. Glory. I'm talking to somebody. Put your hands in the hands of the Lord today. Praise God. We can't fight this battle by ourselves. Glory to his name. The battle belongs to the Lord. I believe that God, by his Spirit, saves and delivers his people by giving them clear directions. God speaks to his people by his Spirit. And he makes the spirit voice clear to us. Thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand, that is Isaiah 30 and 21. The voice of God's spirit comes to us primarily through the scriptures. He may open up, come on, open up to us a biblical passage that will be the key to our deliverance. But before we can hear his voice of direction, God requires something of us. We are to stand still and wait upon him to act. This word is not, the word is not a suggestion, but it's a commandment. And it's the secret to our total victory and deliverance. Indeed, the Lord commanded his people to stand still on so many occasions. The Bible says in Joshua 3, we read, for another crossing Israel had to make. At the Jordan River, God instructed the people, when ye are to come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Then the Lord added, as soon as the sole of your feet of the priest shall rest upon in the water of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off, and they shall stand upon the heap. God is going to open the way. Y'all are, somebody's waiting for God to open the way. And I hear the spirit of the living God. God says, I am going to open the way for you. Fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to cross over. God was saying, when you get to the water, plant your feet in it and just stand there. Be still. Rest in me. Praise God. Don't try to figure out what I'm up to. Just wait for me to act. I will be part. I will part the waters for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want somebody to bless the name of the Lord today. Give God the praise of the day. God is working out your miracle. I hear you, Holy Ghost. God is working out your miracle. Who I'm talking to today, praise God. You've been waiting. You've been asking God, like, God, what is going on in this situation? But I hear the Spirit of the living God says, just wait on me. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, praise God. I'm going to work this thing out for you. My God, I give you glory. I'm going to go to a song and I'll be right back, praise God, to give you the rest of what God wants you to have today.
Somebody's in the fight of your life right now. Lashay Knox, tell them how to win.
This is how I fight my battles.
When you're feeling overwhelmed and under pressure.
This is how I fight my battles.
Woo!
When you're in the midst of a storm and you can't see your way out.
When you get that unfavorable diagnosis.
This is how you fight.
Somebody's saying it seems like trouble is all around me. Lashay, tell them it may look like.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
That's how God works.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It
may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how you fight. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord.
the Lord. Amen. Glory to his name. You are surrounded by his mercy. You are surrounded by his peace. You are surrounded by his healing. You are surrounded by his love. You are surrounded by his grace. Come on, somebody. Give God the praises on today. Praise God. Yes, Holy Spirit. Lord, I feel good in my soul today. Amen. Praise God. Knowing that he is the one that's going to fight my battle. Come on, Holy Ghost. All right, all right, all right. Amen. Praise God. Some might have been tempted to build some kind of bridge. Amen. To try to get across on their own, praise God. But that would have been all in vain. Because we can't build, amen, praise God. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Everything has to be built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did act on that occasion. He did part the water. He did it because Israel acted. Of obedience was accomplished by faith. Hear me in the Holy Ghost today. Praise ye the Lord. The act of obedience, come on, was the accompanied by faith. They did what God had told them, and they rested in it. God answered their faith. See, this is where we get it. This is what I want to talk to you. Amen. It's our faith in Jesus. It's our faith that's going to get you to where God wants you to go. We got to act in obedience and in faith. On other occasion, Israel king was commanded to stand still rather than to act. After Samuel anointed Saul as king, he escorted him to the edge of the city. And at one point, Samuel said to Saul, stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Lord. Times that we have to stand still, people of God. Samuel was saying, Saul, I just anointed you. And yet already your mind is racing. You're thinking, what is God doing? We always say that. I used to say that all the time. God, what you doing? Because it just don't seem right, praise God. That was my word. But now I say, Lord, I got to trust you in everything. How can I know his voice, his will? Stop striving, Saul, he said. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want directions from him? Then stand still and listen. I'll give you God's word. He wants to, oh, come on, somebody. I want you to hear what God is saying. This perfectly illustrates the principle I want to emphasize here. The word of the Lord, the voice of directions and deliverance, is given to those who come to a place of standing still before the Lord. In 2 Chronicles, we read that Judah was being invaded by a coalition of a mighty army. Scripture says that King Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Come on, Holy Ghost. The people began to pray, crying, in thy hands is there no might, power, there's no might. So that none is able to withstand thee. They was giving God his props, praise God. They was lifting him up, praise God. For we have no might against this great army that come against us. And you know, we all have said it, Lord, I don't have no might of all these people that's coming up against me right now, praise God. See, that's the prayer that we have to pray. When we got people coming up against us and we don't even know why, it's nothing but the devil that was sent to try to destroy you to get out of the place of God. But I'm here today and decree and declare, every enemy that's chasing you today, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. Glory to his name. We got to trust God even when we don't understand. Praise God. Jehoshaphat cried to the Lord. Neither know we what to do, he said, but our eyes are upon thee. Glory, has you been there before? Once again, we see there is nothing wrong with being afraid. God is long-suffering toward towards us, and he does not hold our fear against us. In fact, we are to pray the same prayer that Joseph had prayed. Lord, I'm frightened. The enemy is coming in like a flood, and I don't know what to do, but I do know that you have all power and might. So I will do nothing, Lord, except to pray. I will fix my eyes upon you. Then come the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. See, God shows up when we cry out. Here is what the Spirit commanded. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God. Ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Come on, Holy Ghost. The phrase set yourself, stand still means to take your position. Do not waver in this matter. In other words, take a position of faith. Be convinced that the battle is the Lord. Any demon that comes against you has to come against Christ in you. It is the Lord's battle to fight, not yours. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. You may remember what happened in the story when the men of Judah went out to fight great armies. They found their enemy already slain on the battlefield. That mighty soldier had gotten up in the middle of the night and began to fight themselves. Come on, somebody. And they end up destroying each other. Your enemy, the ones that come up against you, they're going to end up fighting one another, destroying one another. Praise God. Yes, Holy Spirit. When God stands up, my God, I give you glory. God will make sure, praise God, that he gets in that fight, praise God, yet quoted of our standard. And guess what, people of God? God wins. You notice that most time when your enemy come up against you, they end up fighting against one another? Well, that's what happened because God don't like that. He don't like that backdoor stuff, praise God. He don't like that thing, praise God, that when people, when you're doing right by God and God knows that you're doing right, he will fight every battle. Oh, my God, I give you glory. So the army from Judah simply picked up the spoils and marched back home in great victory. A procession. They hadn't even lifted a sword. The Lord had done all their fighting for them. The Psalms is like, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It literally translates in the Hebrew is, cease and forsake all your striving and acknowledge that I am God. In other words, quit striving. Stop all your efforts to deliver yourself. Acknowledge that God alone can save you. My God, I give you glory. You may say, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. Glory to God. Didn't Israel sometime have to take up arms to do battle? Yes, they did. But on this condition, that they first stood in silence before the Lord and received detailed direction from him. Amen. There'll be some time that the battle that you're fighting, you won't fight it the same way, praise God, yet the way you fought last year on your knees, praise God. God will give you a different strategy. You just got to wait and ask God, what is the strategy for this battle, praise God. That's what Joshua did before the battle of Jericho. He got detailed marching orders before doing anything, and his victory brought God all the glory. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you what I believe is quiet in this matter of standing still before the Lord. The phrase stand still does not mean bring passive or resting on faith. Faith says whatever will be, but faith comes and changes everything, and standing still is an act of faith. An active resting on God's promises. It is a determination to seek all question, doubt, and useless striving. Ever since I've been in ministry, a major area of striving for me has been this matter of knowing the voice of God. I believe this struggle is common to many Christians today. We constantly ask, how can I know if a voice I hear is God? How can I discern whether it's his or mine or my flesh? Come on, somebody. Whenever I face a critical need that requires an answer, I turn to the Lord in prayer and cry out, Father, your word says you speak to your people. Please, God, speak to me. Give me directions. I end up quoting every scripture a proverb. Let me tell you something. I will walk the floor all night if I can. Praise God. When I don't understand something, I will lose sleep. I have to go to God because I made too many errors on my own. Come on, somebody. Glory to his name. So my thing, amen, praise God. You got to get to the point in your life, praise God, that you go to God. Yes, God, I fear in this matter, but God, I need you to stand up for me. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Come on, somebody. Thou ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand, come on, somebody. That's in Isaiah 30:21. Oh my God, I give you glory. The word is very nigh unto thee. Come on. In thy mouth and in thy heart. Deuteronomy 30:4. Indeed, a still small, and as God begins to speak, we suddenly have a great sense of peace and calm. Come on, somebody. When you get to the point where you know, praise God, that you're in prayer and you got a sense of a peace and a calmness. And then when you get up and you said, I'm not going to take that back. My God, I give you the glory. The voice of comfort and soothing, and it will leave our prayer closet feeling wonderful. He most assuredly does lead us and deliver us by the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we get to know the Holy Spirit, when you start calling on the Holy Spirit, my God, I give you the glory. Because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you. He will teach you all things. Come on, somebody. They say it's not a person, but let me tell you, I need that person. I need the Holy Spirit. Glory to his name. Because I don't know, praise God, I might get to the point, praise God, I get down the street and I don't know which way to go. Holy Spirit, which way is I'm going? And anybody know me, praise God, when I lose something in the house, I've quickly called the Holy Spirit. Where is those keys? Lead me and direct me where those keys are at, praise God. Yes, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you start calling on them, praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost. You will know the voice of God, but all too often the word we hear in prayer doesn't come to pass. In fact, it can sometimes prove to be wrong. Come on, I want to talk to you. And we realize we heard another voice, not Christ. In such case, it had to be either the voice of your own desire, hear me, in the Holy Ghost, your own desire, because we got to know the voice of God and ambition, or the voice of our flesh. We got to know the difference. We got to get to the point where we get to God so much, praise God, that we know when we is our desire, it's our ambition, and it's our flesh. Whatever we want, that's what we want, praise God. Yes, Holy Spirit. Please understand, I'm not talking about hearing foolish things. Come on. Over the years, I've heard people attribute many things, fleshly things, to the voice of the Lord. Rather, I'm talking about godly believers who cling to God's word and faithfully seek him for direction. And when the word they receive somehow goes wrong, a cloud of doubt comes upon them, and they end up confused, crying out. I want to give you an example. I hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to, praise God. But God, let me tell you, a married person, glory to God, and a woman or man that's trying to seek God for the marriage, and that person's already in that marriage, praise God, God will not tell that person that is your husband or that's your wife. Praise God. Yet what God has put together, let no man put asunder. My God, I give you the glory. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of understanding. He is a God of love, peace, and joy. I want somebody to know that. praise God, because we got some dust that's that voice, praise God, that's that flesh. I wish I had them. I wish they was mine, praise God. But let me tell you, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Don't let nobody tell you, praise God, yet God said that you my wife. I say the devil is a liar. I know that God, who God gave me, praise God, and I know I fasted, I prayed, I labored, and I got an answer from God. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. We got to be careful what voice that we're hearing. Those are the voice of flesh, a voice of our own desire. Please understand, praise God, God is not a God of a misunderstanding. He makes things plain for us. Oh, God. Here, I did everything I know to do. I prayed. I held on to your word. You know I want your will, God, Lord. I want your will. And I know I'm under your blood. How could I have messed up so badly? How did I mistake another voice for yours? Oh, Lord, how can I ever trust any voice again? Paul describes the feeling this way. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Yet, we forget that Paul also says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of in the world, and none of them is without significance. The Bible says in Corinthians 14:10, there are thousands of voices, including a voice of the flesh, a voice of the will, a voice of ambition, and all screams for our mind's attention. Come on. It doesn't matter how much we pray, how close we are to the Lord, how many hours we spend in his word. We all are fallible, and we all make mistakes. Our flesh still has a voice, and at times it will get in the way. But I want you to hold on to the horns of the altar. Let me tell you how God brought me through this test of faith. I have become set on the truth that the Lord orders every step. I'm convinced prearranged and sets up all my circumstances. He has promised by covenant to lead me and guide me by his spirit. I'm talking to everybody. And to keep me from falling. So now I pray in faith, believe in his word to me, and stand still and wait for him to act. You see, when God makes a promise, it is no longer a matter of grace. Rather, it is legal. He sealed all his promise with an oath, and we have the right to stand on them. Legally, God can't back away from any of his promises, or he wouldn't be God. So we can hold to each promise and say, Lord, I am going to stand on what you said. No reply is necessary. Your promise is your voice speaking directly to me. You may say, wait a minute. Do you mean we're not supposed to commune with the Lord? Of course. I don't mean that. But communion with God isn't restricted to worship and praise and prayer. Our communion with him also includes trusting him, to commune with him by actively leaning on his written, revealed word. Holy Spirit, speak mostly by leading us to scripture passages, showing us God's mind on any matter and telling us what steps to take. Why should he speak with an inner voice when we will not hear his revealed written word? Come on. In fact is, God doesn't have to tell us anything for us to have intimacy with him. He doesn't have to reveal all his plans to us. In fact, we can have intimacy with God simply by giving up our efforts to figure out his voice. This kind of intimacy says, Lord, even if I never hear another word from you, you're still giving me everything I need. I know you love me. Your word has come to me, and I'm going to rest in that. All I ask is that you keep your promise to me. There is no other reply necessary. Come on, I want to talk to you today, praise God. Father, we just thank you because I got to close it out, praise God. I know, praise God. I thank God for all of you. Amen, praise God. Yes, Holy Spirit. We bless God today because God, his covenant promises to see us through in any crisis or trial. According to his divine power has given to us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature. David is an example of all kinds of trust. As this godly man lays on his deathbed, he said, although my house be not so with God. In other words, I have not yet seen all the words that the Lord has given me to come to pass. My house is still not as it ought to be. There, three of my sons are dead. Yet I have been given a promise that my house will not fall. He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. God had promised David's forefather Abraham, I will give you a sure house with a firm foundation. I will bless you and the whole earth will be blessed through. Come on. I will bless you and the whole earth will be blessed through your seed, meaning Christ. We thank God today. We give God the glory. David had no prophet standing nearby telling him these things. He had no dream, no vision, no inner voice speaking to him. No. As he faced eternity, David didn't look for any of these things. Instead, he said, God gave me a covenant promise in his word. And I go into eternity standing on that promise. For this is all my salvation, all my desire. Come on. He was saying, in essence, I can face death now because his promises is all I need. I want to talk to you today. Many, we may fail in our discernment or our hearing, our decision. We can rejoice in God who is our strength. He will make us to walk in the right way. It is all his work. We must simply yield, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord promised, fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help you. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. This is the word of the Lord today. Stand ye still. Hey, my God, I give you glory. And see the salvation of the Lord. You have been on the air with no other than the one and only Apostle Carolyn McNeil today. I pray that you was blessed by the word of God. I pray that God has poured into your heart. Glory to his name. I pray that God has endowed more faith in you today as he did it for me. Praise God. And remember the word of the Lord today. As we leave this place, but not from his presence, believe and trust him that he is going to lead you, he is going to guide you, he is going to protect you, he is going to bless you. My God, I give you the glory. With that being said, don't forget tomorrow night, your fix at 6 will be on with Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Praise God. And as this week progresses, amen. We have ministry on every night. Bishop Thurman Butler's on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Lady T, the weekly word workout with Lady T. Friday, praise God, with Pastor Matthew McNeil, praise God. And yes, on Sunday morning, you're with me. We thank God, amen. I want you to really be a blessing to this ministry. I want to continue, and we all want to continue in the work of the Lord. But we're going to need the help of the people, praise God, to sow into the ministry. Amen, praise God. Glory to his name. We need people, amen, to help out. Amen. Help out with the work of the Lord. Amen. God says the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. That's in Proverbs 11:2. When you water something, God, and you water it, and then God, praise God, he will continue to water you, praise God. With that being said, amen, if you want to contact me, praise God, you can contact the ministry, 302-883-9799, amen, praise God. And we do have a website, so call me. I'll give you the email address, praise God. With that being said, I'm going to close out this portion of ministry. I want you to be blessed today. Happy, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. Praise God. The spiritual fathers, the fathers. Amen. Because sometimes the spiritual fathers do so much for the people. They don't even know they're being a spiritual father. So we just thank and praise God on today. Amen. For you, you, and you. Thank you for coming on with me today. Praise God. I'm going to pray. Amen. And then we're going to close out with a bang. Amen. Praise God. Because God made it possible for us to see another day and to praise him a little more. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come and we bless your holy name, God. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory, Father. I ask that you bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, pour into their homes. Pour into their finances, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless their children. Bless their spouses, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask, Lord God, if it be any scales on our eyes, Lord, take them off right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for divine directions. I pray for divine guidance, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for supernatural testimonies for your people, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, as you spoke to us, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The enemy that we seen on yesterday and today, we will see no more. We thank you for that right now, God, in the name of Jesus, because you're taking us into the promised land, God. We thank you right now, God, for moving by your mighty power. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Let the church say amen, amen, amen. I got a song. God bless you. Have an amazing day.
I felt so all alone. When I needed you, Jesus, all I had to do was call. Sometimes